Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction? Devin Tilley here, and I'm so jazzed for this conversation that is going to be the kindling of so many cool conversations, but most importantly, so many lessons learned coming from the past. So the main message for today is that we're going to be talking about the catalyst that is launching the Housing Innovation Challenge. Seven times for the first time, the Housing Innovation Challenge, which is a design-build competition that's going to be held in Charlotte, North Carolina, in and out of Dennis and the team with the great Housing Innovation Alliance all coming together, and it's going to be from Charlotte. Last year, we had podcasts with people from the team at Pitt. The year before that, we had podcasts with the team at the University in Denver, and now we're heading to Charlotte in 2026. So how does this benefit you? We're talking all about how innovation meets action with these different strategic roadmaps. And that's what Dennis and the Housing Innovation Alliance team is all about, is putting that innovation. And if there's one thing I've learned of being involved with this, is you cannot innovate alone, but you better pull on those different relationships and put that together to be able to turn that into action. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. So the Housing Innovation Challenge is a new national design build competition bringing together students, builders, and innovators to tackle one of America's largest challenges, making quality housing attainable. The competition unfolds two phases. First, a design and planning phase where university and trade school teams create concepts for innovative, attainable homes. And second, a build and showcase phase where the finalists partner with professional builders to bring those designs to life in Charlotte. So each team will explore new ways to reduce the total cost of housing. The programming will emphasize benefits of off-site construction methods that we call system-built construction here on The Art of Construction, talking about all these different ways to do that every day. And the intent is that finished homes will become permanent dwellings across Charlotte. They'll be open for public tours in the fall of 2027 and featured in a digital catalog to be replicated across the city and beyond. The Art of Construction Master Facilitators lean into this and all the different cities that Dennis and I have been going all over the place to turn more of this theory into practice. Who's going to lead this? The Housing Innovation Alliance, the City of Charlotte, Meritage Homes, and Home Technology Ventures is the movement to reimagine how America designs, builds, and lives. So we're going to put all this stuff in the show notes. They're going to be building informational videos and details will all be on the Housing Innovation Alliance website. And details will be shared through the show notes and all of these awesome upcoming conversations. And that was a mouthful. And so my perspective for this whole thing is that we're always talking about there's so much excitement when you go to these right groups. And I am a huge fan of what Dennis and the Housing Innovation Alliance is doing and us master facilitators all coming together. And we're for me, it's like, how do we make these public and private partnerships work and leverage the applied research and activities to drive this innovation and learn how different market engagement initiatives, like I referenced University of Denver, Pittsburgh, now into Charlotte, of the different municipalities, theories, practice, and initiatives all coming together through the Housing Innovation Alliance. And Dennis, it's an honor. I love when you reach out to me and say, hey, Devin, we got one we got to talk about. And I always am excited for these threads coming together. It's an honor to have you here as my co-host to meet some super cool guys. But before we get this going, can you kind of talk through where we've been, where we are, and where we're going with all this crazy cool stuff?
Hey, Devin, really appreciate you bringing us in today to connect with your audience around these key concepts. You know, it's always a pleasure to get with guys like you and talk through how we're moving ideas into action with our network. You did a great job laying out what we're working on here in Charlotte. And I just want to set the stage that Charlotte is just the first of many cities that will have the opportunity to host this particular challenge. But the first 2 years, we are going to be centered around the Charlotte market. We're looking at 26 and 27. And I know the co-directors of this program to get into the knit and grit and the details of it. So just want to talk a little bit about Charlotte and our connection into this marketplace. You know, through the programming that you and I have hosted together over the past few years, you've had the opportunity to meet a good friend of ours, Chris Langford from Home Technology Ventures. His organization is based in Charlotte, and he's been doing a lot of work from the venture capital side of the industry to help reinforce ideas with the potential to transform the residential housing market. You know, he and I have collaborated on a number of different programming opportunities, specifically our Pitch Fest competition. I know when we were out in Denver, you had the opportunity to capture some of the folks that came through that pipeline. And, you know, as we were taking the opportunity for Chris and I to kind of look back and kind of do the where are they now kind of review of some of these founders and their solutions, we thought, you know, it would be really interesting if we could find a way to help actually demonstrate these solutions in the marketplace. So what you're going to learn about through the Housing Innovation Challenge is really how we're doing that. It's applied research to get to that innovation, right? So in many ways, the work that we're doing is an extension of what we see through our startup competition. It's an extension of all of the relationships that exist through our crowd accelerated innovation platform. And most notably, it's an extension and expansion of the relationships we have with universities that we've developed, as you mentioned, with the University of Denver, the University of Pittsburgh. I'll be out at Penn State here in a few weeks as well. But it's really that essence of connecting the next generation of talent to the wisdom of the industry and doing it in a way that creates real world learning opportunities. And you know, we're going to hear from Bobby Vance and Richard King later. And these two guys are just like, they're at the top of their class when it comes to making that happen. Collectively, we're working to bring the best ideas to life as quickly as possible because we know we're going to make some mistakes. But what this competition is going to allow us to do is really showcase learnings that are happening in the classroom and the learnings that are happening in the field. So it's going to be a real opportunity to take our lenses of innovation. You know, when I've talked to these to your talked about these with your audience before, but just to highlight them, you know, we really look at innovation from what are the emerging business models? What are those people strategies? How do we organize talent internally and externally? What are the product opportunities that can be at the infrastructure and community level all the way into the home design itself and all the technologies within the house? And then, as we say, the process that connects all of this from dirt to dweller within our ecosystem. This allows us to elevate the conversation a little bit. We talk about the home framework, which was developed by Home Technology Ventures, and we're going to get into the details on that a little bit later. But really, this is a holistic view of the total cost of housing and how we not only pull the lever on the vertical process and reduce the cost of construction, but all aspects that come into contact with home. If you think about not just how we build, as I've highlighted, but how we live once we're within the home and all the costs related to that and how we transact to get into housing, whether that be a purchase or a rental. So really excited about the opportunity to kind of have this conversation on a national scale with next generation of talent and as well as the established leaders of the industry today.
All right. I'm excited to lead this conversation. Dennis, thank you for allowing us to step up and share this on The Art of Construction, which is specifically designed for builders and affiliates to connect the right construction technologies and products to the right handshakes. And I think this is the perfect conversation of mixing theory and practice together to go build better buildings. Richard, what's your favorite beverage?
Vitamin water or any of the drinks that fortify your body and mind.
Awesome. And tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
Joshua Tree comes to mind first. I was out there last year. You know, I like to do hiking, and I walked with my wife all over that park. It's just so awesome. Definitely a place everybody should go visit.
Give us one story from that.
Well,
what's one thing that sticks out of mind hiking all around?
Well, Joshua Tree has these huge boulders, and of course, the Joshua Tree cactus plants that are, you know, two times taller than me, and you walk through these places. It's like being on another planet. It's just really awesome.
Totally agree. I loved that. I was there as well.
Oh, cool.
Tell about your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction silos we're going to talk about that we passionately call the art of construction.
Well, I always like hiking and reading, so I put hiking down. And especially a new trail, someplace new, is so much fun.
Well, it's an honor to have you here, Richard, and take your lifelong learning and share your stories today, as well as Bobby Vance. We're excited to have you as well. Bobby, what is your favorite beverage?
Hey, nice to meet you, Devin. I would have to say, along the same lines as Richard, probably a Chick-fil-A lemonade as the PG version. And then I definitely love solid gin and tonic as well. I've been on a kick of gin and tonics recently. If it's a beer, Delirium Tremens, but yeah, G&T every day.
Awesome. Tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
Oh, my God. probably Dubai by far, I would say. It's a city that really seems like anything you dream is possible. I love the hospitality of the people, both the locals and the expats. And it seemed like every time I visited, I went at like a pretty regular 6-month interval. They'd always built the next tallest or the next largest of anything in the world. And honestly, it just really felt like a place that rewarded you for taking risks and being bold. And that's what I'm all about.
Awesome. What's your favorite hobby?
Oh, similar to Richard, I would say hiking and camping, but definitely in the backcountry. In the East Coast, it's very, very humid. So I like doing all that out west in Utah and Montana.
Awesome. Dennis, let's kick this baby off.
Right on. Let's get into it. So now that we've gotten to know you just a little bit, Richard, let's start to dig in a bit more. Love to hear a little bit about your story and how you and I got connected and how you're getting tied into the Housing Innovation Alliance, which ultimately led you to be the co-director of this challenge we're kicking up.
Well, people say there's life-changing events, and one that really comes to mind for me is doing solar car races back in the 90s and 2000s. I really enjoy competitions, especially when it involves what I call brain sport, and that's where you want to outsmart your competitors by out-hustling them and out-doing them. So big competitions where you actually build something from the ground up. And then either race, which I got into first, was racing solar cars across the country. And then a competition challenging architects to design and build solar houses. So to back up just a little bit, you know, I was working at the U.S. Department of Energy, 30-year career there, at the time I was introduced to a solar car. And it was like magic. Sunlight converts into electricity. And these automotive engineers in the universities would design from the ground up using about a kilowatt of about 1 horsepower of photovoltaic. So they were designing very aerodynamic, very lightweight vehicles that could drive across the country at 50, 60, 70 miles an hour all day just on electricity. And I was out there promoting photovoltaics, but little did I know I was promoting electric vehicle technology and a lot of energy efficiency components in there. I want to go back to 2003. We were holding a solar car race in the United States, and up jumps this Michigan team, and they had a brand new battery in. So, you know, it started out in the 80s with lead acid batteries, and then they went to nickel metal hydride. You're always trying to find higher density, lower weight batteries. And this team, two guys pulled out a 5 kilowatt hour battery out of their car and lifted it out. I mean, that was never, you could do that before. So that's an example of how these hands-on competitions with, you know, very creative young college students, it's just amazing what they come up with. So I'm out there on these solar car races all through the 90s and into the early 2000s. And we had a ton of people come out to look at them, want to see the technology, talk to the students, you know, what's this new technology? And they would ask me, can this drive a natural car? And yeah, it's a stretch to power a 210 automobile. But I always told them, if it can power a car, you can easily put it on your roof and power a house. And so, duh, Richard, you know, I finally in the year 2000 said, well, I should challenge the architect students to design from the ground up a solar-powered house, because at the time, it was a real lift to get solar onto housing for a number of reasons. And so starting in the year 2000, crafted a hands-on competition to design a house. And at the time, I worked at the U.S. Department of Energy right across in Washington, D.C., right across from the National Mall. And I walked out there and I said, wow, this would be just an awesome place to put, you know, 20 houses designed and built by students, the best architecture schools in the country, and let Washington, D.C. and all the policymakers and everybody see that this stuff is real and can be done. And it was the most amazing thing I've ever done in my life. Certainly life-changing for me, as well as everybody involved in the competition. So we held it on the National Mall for 5 or 6 times all through the 2000s and up to 2011. And we could see through each competition that this iterative design process, each time it led to better and better designs, the technology moved. You know, we went from SIPs to all kinds of energy efficient appliances in the houses. They started out with, you know, fluorescents, and then they went to compact fluorescents, and that didn't last very long. And then these houses started coming out with I should probably stop that. What do they have now? They have, LEDs. Yes. Okay. Hmm? So these teams would show the new technologies coming out and start building with them. You know, they started out with fluorescent, anything to have better efficiency than compact fluorescents, which only lasted a couple of years because a new disruptive technology came out was the LEDs. So the houses would all have just a fraction of the amount of energy they needed. Anyways, very powerful to educate students. You put them out there for the public to see real live demonstrations. So you're educating the public, you're educating decision makers, you're educating the industry. Very, very powerful. And I've done that. And Dennis approached me and said, you know, can you help the housing industry out? And I said, yeah, I think I can. Tell me more what you need. And that led to the Housing Innovation Challenge.
Yeah, no, I love this story, Richard. I just picture you, you know, whisking down the road, the wind in your hair in this solar-powered car, and then from the car to the National Mall and now into the into urban areas across the country to kind of drive that transformation. So love it, love it. You know, and we're going to dig into more details about how those learnings and experiences have translated into what we are collectively creating here. But would love to get some of the same kind of perspective from you, Bobby. You know, what has led you to where we are today?
Yeah. Hey, I have always loved building things. I grew up obsessed with Legos, hence my love for all things modular. And in high school, I had the opportunity to help build our family's log home up in West Virginia. And really, that experience cemented my love for design and making. Today, I'm an architect, I'm an educator, I'm a researcher at Virginia Tech, where I teach in the School of Architecture, and I'm a fellow at the Center for Design Research. My work bridges theory and practice, like we had mentioned earlier in the conversation. What that means is I really enjoy helping students not just design on paper, but actually build what they are imagining. Over the years, that's led me from leading the design arm of a modular design company called Modular Design Plus, and all the way to participating in international competitions like the Solar Decathlon Dubai, where I met Richard. And now I'm co-directing the Housing Innovation Challenge and could not be more excited about its mission to build focused on attainable housing. My research really centers on industrialized offsite construction. So really that's, you know, anything modular or cartridge based. I like the idea of making homes faster in every way possible. So more affordable, adaptable over time, and how do people live in them over time? And then in its core, it all comes back to that same spark from my childhood, the joy of creating, solving problems, and building things that makes people's lives better.
And right on. Well, I can see how collectively this is the perfect recipe for where we're trying to go, Devin, right? You're starting to see how this is all the flavors bubbling up. You know, you mentioned a little bit about this, Richard, and you talked about some of your experience with the solar car racing and the solar decathlon. I've had the privilege of looking through one of the pieces you pulled together on this. But can you tell us a little bit about what it is about these competitions that excites you so much, and even some of the publications you put out there around these competitions?
Well, I think the biggest thing is educating the public. You know, at the Department of Energy is doing research on solar cell technology, and it was in the laboratory, and a lot of small industry participants were making a lot of progress on it. But you know, how do you get it out of the laboratory and into the public? And you not only need a company with a good product, you need an educated public to be the consumer to buy that product, so the both can grow together. You need a market. And I think these epic competitions where you're barnstorming across the country in a solar car, or you're building something for real that people can see that are on the leading edge, they excite people, they walk away, they're talking all about it, and they actually, it moves them to action. So it's that outreach, public education that excites me a lot, you know, as well as pushing technology forward.
Dennis, so much gold there. As far as lifelong learners coming together, right? Like a couple bullet points that I just have to recap of at the beginning, Richard's like, it's like my brain sport. I'm like, oh man, I've never heard that term before. It's like, it gets me so jazzed. A guy that was like a sports that you think of, and now my daughter's into math club and running, and like putting those things together just gets me so jazzed as a dad and a lifelong learner of the next generation to take the cars, and we're constantly talking about on these system built conversations of like, you shouldn't assemble a car in your driveway like you do with a house. And he talked about the solar powered cars to, oh, I'm always telling people this solar panel should be putting on a roof of a house, to then doing that. And this key thing is about educating the public of that, of getting it out to the public. And that's what Bobby also talked about, how like learn by doing. And then figuring out how to brainstorming across the country, or also come visit our houses that we've done. So, Dennis, I want to turn it back to you to talk to them about all the excitement that we now have these superstars to come and help us move our platforms, Art of Construction, Housing Innovation Alliance, forward through that in the Housing Innovation Challenge.
Yeah, well, I think, Devin, you know, when I look at all the work that these two gentlemen have put into the industry over the past few decades, you know, you highlighted that comment around brain sport. I love that as well. I think, you know, everything has been about applying leverage where it could be transformational. And I think it's really important to look at that and say, all right, where can we have that same generational impact on the work effort that we put in and the industries we've dedicated our careers. And then for us, and when I think about this challenge and kind of bringing it into the industry, we're constantly asking ourselves, how might we collaborate? How might we collectively work to solve these problems? And I highlighted or kind of alluded to our crowdsourced innovation platform earlier on in this conversation. And that's really what we're all about. So for us, this is a natural extension of our market engagement activities. This is a way for us to take what we're doing on a day-to-day basis with industry, connect it back to the work that's happening at the universities all over North America, and then bring it collectively into practice as we look at how we try to solve some of housing's biggest challenges, as we articulated in the outline for this particular program. So that for me is really the genesis for this competition, and why what we're doing and why our partners through the Alliance are excited to get behind this and help drive it forward.
All right, Bobby, I want to get into some of your perspectives of kind of Richard's taking his rich history of leading these. What are your perspectives of where you're coming from of now helping? And correct me if I'm wrong, Richard has been doing this for a while. You were a student, now you're a teacher, and you're helping kind of lead this initiative of kind of living both sides of it in the past. Am I understanding that correctly, Bobby?
Yeah, I think it's a really accurate description, actually. And, you know, I'm sitting in my studio right now filming this podcast, so I have all the energy is around me right now with my students and our design studio. But I'm looking at it right now on the wall. I live by the motto of making mistakes faster. I think that, you know, a lot of where we are in this world is a very kind of risk-averse environment, and I just teach my students to fail early and fail often. You know, that it really is a part of our training as an architect. is to look at the way that people live and then translate that into how we build. But I think where I really, really zoom in is being drawn to the intersection between architecture and industrial design. So essentially designing from the inside out rather than the outside in. I think, you know, rather than designing inside of a box, we need to look at how people actually occupy and program each space, and then how do we connect those pieces together. So really, my interest in prefabrication and modular design began as an undergrad when I was at Virginia Tech. I had an opportunity to work with Skidmore, Owings & Merrill in Chicago on a really cool modular concept. They were imagining this new green subcity about 10 miles south of the Loop. And that experience opened my eyes to how buildings could be designed more like products. So really thinking about precision, efficiency, and scalability rather than just one address on a particular lot. And really, you know, I've translated that since graduating. My work is really focused on what I had said before, bridging that theory and practice and evolving design through industrialized construction. So thinking about digital workflows and that research on speed, you know, how faster and smarter methods can redefine the way we design. But not just design, it really is permitting and assembly and reuse. It's kind of that Lean and Sigma Six mindset, right? I think. And that's really what this competition is about for me. It's not just the one-size-fits-all approach. It is looking at how every single link in the value chain can contribute to the success of the competition.
Yeah, if I heard you right, you had said you had worked in modular. What was the company and what did you do there? Did I hear that right?
Yeah, so I helped lead the design arm of a company called Modular Design Plus. That was a wholly owned subsidiary of Canon Design, which was one of the largest architecture and engineering firms in the world. They have since rolled that back into their offerings. It's no longer its own standalone company. But it's funny you say that. Ironically, I actually spun out the design arm of that competition or of that company into my own design consulting practice. And that's really where I met Dennis, was taking the experience I had participating in the Solar Decathlon and my experience in the industry and then linking those two academic and professional experiences in creating the next generation of competition.
Fascinating. And if I think a lot of the people listening now, we have this magical meet the gooey middle of you are a student and now you're a teacher or you are now you're helping run this. Can you talk about from being a student to now a teacher, like some of the key principles, if you were a student listening to this to say, I want to be part of this, or if you are a Richard who ran these or a guy like Devin in supply chain to say, why should I get involved in this? You've really lived it. So I'm really curious about your point of views around that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny you ask that because when I graduated from school, Virginia Tech is a five-year program. You get your professional degree. It was never in my cards to come back and be a teacher. I never really thought that that was something I wanted to do. Zoom forward, it's 2016. I get a call from an old colleague of mine inviting me to come back to get my master's. And I'm like, I don't need any more school, man. And he's like, yeah, but we're going to re-enter into the Solar Decathlon. We had won the 2010 competition over in Madrid, the inaugural Solar Decathlon European competition. Virginia Tech kind of hung its hat, said, we won, we're retiring on top. That doesn't make sense for us to keep contributing. But we really had a really interesting concept. It was thinking about a translation from a volumetric approach, structural volumetric approach, into more of a pod-based, kind of, I would call it a right-sized approach for construction. So came back to Virginia Tech, got my master's, began teaching, and that really was my entry point into the Future House Dubai project, which totally changed the entire trajectory of my life. The amazing thing was we were the only United States team, so it was a very interesting challenge to design something for Blacksburg, Virginia, that also had to translate to the desert of Dubai. And it wasn't just, you know, a couple of students that were from architecture sitting in our studio. It was really an engagement with 12 different schools across the universities. There were about 60 students total that were a part of the competition over a two-year period. And it really kind of reopened my eyes to, God, this is not solved by one person. This is not solved by even one discipline. This is solved by a collection of talent. And it was just in a really exciting time of my life. And, you know, now that I'm back at Virginia Tech, I run what we call our design assemble program, kind of a play on that design build idea. But it's less about teaching the students how to be contractors and more about finding their really, you know, specific piece within the value chain and creating parts that can scale beyond just the construction industry. Richard and I talk a lot about this, but it really is, you know, I think a lot of the advancements in our industry are actually borrowed from other industries. I would call it aerospace and automobile and the technology industry. So that's really where I push my students now is how do we borrow ideas and then synthesize them into the next generation of design and construction.
I love that. And one other tie-in question I got to hear from you is what advice would you give a student that's thinking about getting involved or wanting to be part of this competition?
Yeah, I would say that the main way to think about this is you need to think about design through making in your career. I think for me, when I got out of school, I learned a lot of theory. I had not really applied that in any sort of practical manner. If I were a student at a university, I would be thinking about choosing a university if I were a prospective student or asking a faculty member or my director how we as a studio could be able to participate in this. With this being a two-phase competition, that design phase, it's a really kind of low barrier of entry to creating some incredible ideas. And then we will help create a link to the industry and a build partner to be able to translate that into reality.
Awesome. So can you talk a little bit more about how the competition works then?
Yeah. So it's going to be a two-phased approach. We have just kicked off the phase one, which is that design phase. We are going to be gathering calls for submissions by December 12th. We're going to have a webinar later this week to tell you a little bit more about what our design approach is for this. But really kicking off at the beginning of next semester, we're going to invite teams to spend about 8 to 9 weeks coming up with some incredible, incredible concepts. From there, we're going to gather all of those submissions. We're going to have an incredible team of jurors from industry experts to academics to city officials that are going to review and select up to 10 finalists to move on until the bid phase, the build phase. What's it different from the Solar Decathlon and where I think this competition really shines is before it was the students are designing at school. They are going and they're building their homes. They're bringing it up for a two-week exhibition and showcase, and then it goes back to their universities. Sometimes that goes on. Sometimes it completely ends after that event. We're really looking to translate that so there is this lasting, you know, transformational change within the cities that we are hosting these competitions in. So in the build phase, partnering you with a builder that allows you to focus again on design. You are being mentored and working together to translate the concept you have into reality. And then that home will be exhibited and ultimately transferred over to a permanent family in Charlotte.
I love that. Dennis, anything you'd add to how we kicked this, how this thing's going to work?
No, I think Bobby did a great job kind of laying out the rules of the road, if you will, as we go forward. I think it's going to be, you know, really excited to roll out this first phase of the competition here as we speak and get this program up and running. But the most important piece of it really is, again, getting, tactically speaking, getting these solutions into the marketplace in real time. And that's where we wanted to differentiate ourselves and really give students, a one of a kind kind of opportunity to get see their vision come to life.
Awesome. So we've gotten a little bit more about Bobby as a student and how and why you should get involved in this competition. And that's the call to action, is to step up and get involved. But I want to pass it back to you, Dennis, and talk with Richard a little bit more about, you know, how do we, as Bobby talked about being a student and now a teacher, of congrats, Bobby, winning it. You didn't tell us that part on the pre-interview of winning this competition and now leading it. Dennis, can you wrap a little bit with Richard about how the next generation of leaders working to deliver these attainable housing solutions?
Yeah, no, I'd love to. I think I'll just kind of go back to what I said in the intro. You know, a big part for us back in 2020, 2021 was to build meaningful partnerships with universities that allowed us to work with the next generation of talent and integrate them more actively into our programming. And that's happened at a variety of levels since that time. And for us, this is another opportunity to walk the talk. And I know, you know, Richard, as he shared, has a ton of experience. So would love him to just elaborate a little bit more maybe on that particular piece. And as Devin alluded to, Richard, you know, Talk to us a little bit about how we can train that next generation of leader to really think differently in how we provide housing.
Well, from my point of view, it's giving them a hands-on challenge, but where it takes a large team of students along with the faculty as well as outside advisors. It's a collaboration. It's multidisciplinary team. And when you do that as a student and you're leading that effort especially, you're gaining experience that you usually don't get until you leave school and actually enter a firm and start working in the real world. But if you can do that in college, in the university, or in your training school, you gain that before you get out. And I'll tell you, there's in all the competitions I've had, outside industry is sitting there on the sidelines looking at these students, wanting their resumes, and they're hiring them right off, you know, the mall or the race course or wherever they were, because they wanted these experienced leadership people, students. It's just wonderful.
No, I love that. I love that point you made around leadership. I think that's an important one to highlight. One thing I want to do, not to keep things too serious, but to lighten the load a little here. What do you have any great stories from your past experiences of just like, you know, what you saw on the National Mall or what you saw on the racetrack from kind of a student leadership perspective? Or and these can be funny stories as well. We're open to some entertainment. So,
well, I saw a lot of marriages happen. We've had a lot of students, a couple of them come to mind, you know, Carnegie Mellon meeting Darmstadt people. And that couple now has a family here in Charlottesville. And another student, you know, went on and formed a solar company. And he's doing very well up in Long Island. But he met a young lady who was on the team from RISD, Rhode Island School of Design. And so the second time when they both came to a subsequent competition, he takes her up to the Lincoln Memorial, and on the steps, he pulls out his ring and proposes to her. So there's another match made in heaven. So those are funny personal stories. And of course, all the technologies that I've seen over the course of these competition just still amaze me totally.
Wow. Richard King, literally building dreams here, folks. Literally building dreams. I love it. I love it. So let's take another step forward here in the conversation around the relationship with the Housing Innovation Alliance and kind of the genesis of this concept. Richard, talk to me a little bit about your participation in our event earlier this year in Pittsburgh. We had our flagship Housing Innovation Summit. It was a great opportunity for you to know the folks that are within the network. I know there's a couple key takeaways that really helped to shape your thinking around the competition. Just, you know, share what you remember and kind of how you want to apply that going forward.
Yeah, that's thanks, Dennis. So you invited me to the summit. I'm coming in as, you know, and objective, not a bystander, but someone who wants to get immersed again in the housing industry. I'd been out of it for some time. And so you've got a nice audience of like 200 people in the building industry, especially on the leading edge. And you ask them, what keeps you up at night? And so that all these people independently wrote down on a piece of paper like their 1, 2, and 3 things that really keep them up. And you made a nice diagram. You put that up. Well, the number one priority on the top of that list was affordability. Second was labor in various different ways, whether it was lack of skilled labor, not enough training, things like that. Those were the two top ones. And a lot of other things, from insurance to utilities to codes and standards and anything that bogs you down and costs more money. And when I looked at it as a whole, you could see, well, wow, that's the total cost of housing. That's everything concerned in a homeowner paying for and then, you know, maintaining a house. So I stepped back. Let's challenge these teams to, you know, lower the cost of housing and bring in for the labor aspect, we are asking these teams to these universities to team with a trade school, a vocational school, to get that hands-on. We need, you know, better electricians and plumbers and HVAC people to get that skilled labor enforced in our country. We need more skilled labor. So by teaming together, we take care of those, the affordability, the labor. And then for the total cost of housing, we also ask that are challenging the teams to look at the total cost of housing, to bring that down by teaming with industry and all these different partners in the industry.
Yeah, well, what I love when you say, when you highlight total cost of housing, not only does that help, to your point, capture what was discussed in the room that day in Pittsburgh amongst those industry executives, but it also ties into this idea of this being a multidisciplinary activity. So this is yes, an emphasis on the design build programs at the universities, but the goal is that they pull in talent from across various schools to be able to dig into the broader economics, to the policy perspective, and also to be able to kind of really connect on the storytelling so that what they're emphasizing and what they're working toward within their specific solution that they're proposing is able to be communicated, and the value proposition is more easily understood, which I think, again, we may not get it 100% right the first time, and I don't suspect we will as an individual team, but the aggregate of all of these teams and the collective thinking that comes through this will help us to move the needle forward, which I think is incredibly important as we look, you know, to your point, you keep saying this total cost of housing. It's really got to be a holistic view of all of this. So really appreciate you sharing that, Richard, and excited to kind of continue to pull on that with you.
Yeah, and I'll just add a little bit more onto that, Dennis, too. I saw something on LinkedIn the other day about, you know, why don't homes come with car window stickers on them? Why isn't it telling us everything that's inside of it and also its performance, you know? And I think it's really important to note that typically where especially, you know, I'm focusing as an architect or as an educator, we really focus on that H, right? We focus on the cost of the home itself and what the design is. And honestly, very, very little effort goes into thinking about the kind of how I'm going to occupy, or how I'm going to maintain, or really how that house is going to gain equity and value over time too. So I think this is going to be, honestly, a real challenge for not only students, but also kind of an industry coming together to think about not just the point of sale, but actually how we're building buildings to last longer and to be relevant past that kind of initial phase of development.
Well said, everyone. And at the end of the day, that's what this is doing, is putting all that stuff together, right? Where I looked, my LinkedIn was the whole thing about, now it's, they're talking about a 50-year mortgage to be able to have people get their, understand their, pay their payment. I'm like, oh no, like that's the route we're talking about now, of all the way back to the E in home. That is a brutal thing that we're trying to figure out how, when you talk about attainability, it's about how to move things forward, right? And so we have to put all that stuff together, when Richard did a great job of kind of bracketing the whole thing about cost to attain and attainable, like actually having the house. So if you guys are physically building that, and I loved Richard's parallel that we all know about, you know, the evolution of lighting, how fast that changed, but he saw it and lived it, right? And so we need to do more of those kinds of things, and that's what this competition is going to do. And we'll make sure to put all the links in the show notes and spread the good word to help, you know, share the information, because we got to get people to step up, right? And that's the key thing, that we got to put the call to actions out there and make this thing something that is really attainable to happen, right? And the only way it's attainable is people to actually do it, right? And so, Bobby, thank you for stepping up, and Richard stepping up, as we work to close this thing out. The questions we always ask. First, I'm going to tee this up for the question of, what is your crystal ball for the future with technology and construction? I'll let Dennis kind of give his latest predictions from the last time we had on the podcast, to then Bobby, and then Richard's take when it comes to your crystal ball for the future with technology and construction.
Yeah, thanks, Devin. You know, I had last time we spoke, I kind of hit home a few key ideas. I think there's more state level leadership that's going to help to accelerate the adoption of supply side programs when we think of, you know, bringing in more off-site built solutions. So I very much aligned with where our program is heading. We talked about codification of the wisdom of the industry. I'll get more into that because I think that's where we double down. We're going to continue to see more foreign investment. And I think that's happening not just because of what's going on in the industry and the opportunity, but we're seeing kind of a global story there from macro tailwinds coming into the U.S. And then I think there's also this increased interest and ability to localize at right-sized offsite production. So kind of thinking about the viability of micro factories. But I want to just go back quickly to this idea of the codification of the wisdom in the industry. And I think there's going to be, it's going to be continue to be a big push on taking the decades of experience that exists within our organizations, capturing it, and developing it into software platforms that allow us to leverage it across divisions and marketplaces. And this will help to supercharge the new generation of talent as it comes into the organization. I think another major point of leverage that we're able to cover through our program as well is going to be around these ideas for, you know, innovation and land use and zoning. So really going to continue to see substantive changes in the highest cost of housing markets that allow developers to do more. And I think even in many ways empower the local kind of infill opportunities to really capitalize on serving the markets from within. So those are the big two that I want to kind of continue to hammer home here.
Love it. Bobby?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm really excited to see how this is going to take off because I really do feel like there's been a hole in the market since the Solar Decathlon program has sunset and the Building Next program lost its build competition. So I think a resurgence in collegiate design build participation in new competitions like this is just a very natural fit. I really like the idea, and I've been hearing it a lot more from a lot of our builder and industry partners, that having the university step up and into more connected research roles that are de-risking innovation in the design and construction sectors, but then also allowing for builders to form partnerships with universities in a way to have them be their R&D departments. And I think that this is kind of the perfect opportunity to formalize something like that. Another just quick takeaways. I definitely see us moving away. This is just my total crystal ball. Maybe it's 30 years in advance, but I think we're going to move away from physical drawings. We're already seeing it in a lot of European contexts, but moving into ways to digitally assess and then assemble homes through AR and VR. And then I think just from where we are as an industry and where we need to go from a resiliency and a sustainability perspective, designing things to be disassembled and renovated while limiting our waste. We have an incredible amount of building right now that I think needs to find a new life rather than being destroyed.
Love it. Richard?
I have a lot of hope in the younger generations who have grown up on digital technology and what they can do and what their talents take them. And now with AI, oh my God, that's it's just beginning to see the benefits of that technology. So I am hopeful, but my crystal ball doesn't show me anything with tremendous clarity. So I'll just leave it that I am hopeful.
Well, thank you for leading all these all these students along the way. And it's got to be pretty rewarding from the marriages to guiding the cars to the houses to hear Bobby to winning to now here taking the baton and running it with, you know, guys like Dennis and I that I couldn't agree more with what Bobby said about we have to learn by doing. And what talk about the best R&D facilities or is the next generation to lead these things. And Bobby is proof of the pudding. So how cool is that? The final question we always ask, it's going to go Dennis, Bobby, and then Richard to close us out here today. What is that one thing you want to leave our builders and affiliates to think about as they go out there to crush it and grow their business and spread the good word of the Housing Innovation Challenge?
Yeah, I'm just going to go back to what I said earlier on in the conversation, Devin. I think we need to continue to think about how might we work together to shorten the sales cycle, to accelerate the adoption of some of these ideas. You know, I haven't seen one solution out there yet that any one or two companies can be enough of the market to drive it across the finish line. It's going to take a collective force to make these things work and to make them work at the speed they need to have a real impact on the industry. So that's going to be my one thing.
Awesome. Dennis, thanks for putting us all together. Bobby?
Yeah, I'm going to echo a little bit what Dennis just said. I think the willingness to be vulnerable, and I think being able to grow with universities rather than treating them as two different stages of development. You know, I think being able to get started early with good ideas rather than needing to hire the talent only afterwards. And I think that allows for an opportunity to engage with our brightest generation of young talent who really are and will continue to be the next generation of customer as well. So I think you get a little bit of an insight into both how they want to design, but then how they're going to operate.
Awesome. Bobby, thank you so much for stepping up and sharing your story. Richard, bring us home.
Okay. My advice would be ride the ups and downs. Populations grow, so no matter what, more housing will be needed. And if you want to stay relevant and not fall behind your competitors, then hire the young talent that is going to come out of the Housing Innovation Challenge.
Well, there you have it, folks. Get involved in the show notes and Housing Innovation Alliance. Dennis and I will be in Charlotte, and all the details will be there. Come meet Richard, Bobby, and all the teams coming together to build better buildings. Crush it out there, tribe.